now that my NCAA tournament bracket is officially busted, completely worthless, we can once again turn all of our attention, or at least I can, to the NBA. Florida State, if I didn't hate them enough already, they ruined March for me.
That's good.
Yeah.
Glad to hear that.
So I have one Final Four team left.
Wow.
That's pretty bad.
Struggling.
Yeah, well, I went heavy on the Big East.
Yes.
And they all let me down.
They certainly did.
Yes, they did. Welcome to the show. Adam Azer, Greg Urbano here to talk NBA basketball. And it is Monday, March 21st. We are breaking down our all NBA teams, first, second, and third teams, and of course the power rankings later. Some news and notes. The Knicks are horrible, obviously. I don't know what's up with them. Actually, I do know what's up with them. They can't play any defense.
That's the big thing.
Sure. Memphis looks to sign Zach Randolph to a contract extension. A couple of players get ejected. They're going to get suspended. We got a lot more. Mario Chalmers is going to be out for a couple of weeks. I think this hurts the Heat a little bit defensively. I don't think it's a big deal as long as he's back for the playoffs. They're a little shallow at point guard. It might mean that they are not going to get that number one
seed. That's what I was going to say. That's the only thing that might hurt them now is they're pushing to get the one seed. Two games back now, probably not going to get there.
Yeah, and so let's talk about Zach Randolph quickly. What do you think about this? Memphis wants to extend him. Looks like they're closing in on it. Yeah. You know, I like it. He's obviously had a great season, and he's been a great Grizzly, but I wonder for them, are they becoming the Hawks? If they just lock in all of their players that they have now, what's their ceiling? Gasol's going to be a free agent, and they're going to want to get him back, but they've already extended Rudy Gay.
Now Zach
Randolph.
And you got to wonder, are they second-tier superstars, right?
Yeah, exactly. What do you do from here?
They're great players, but we know unless you get two of the best or three of the best, your ceiling's not that high.
You don't have to have the three best players.
No, you certainly don't need to. You don't need to.
But I don't know if they need to keep Randolph.
If you're going to throw a lot of money at him, probably not. You know, you don't want to max him out or anything like that. So, you know, looking at the makeup of that team, though, I mean, he fits them so well. You see on a nightly basis, they go to him on offense. He's, of course, a rebounding machine, especially with Rudy Gay out. We've seen how talented he truly is. So is it a bad sign or is it a bad idea to give him this contract? No, but like you said, where does it push them in the future? How much better will this team be 2-3 years down the road?
Right. If they don't give themselves any cap flexibility to go out and be aggressive in free agency, then they're going to have to hit a home run in the draft. And if they make the playoffs, which they might not, by the way, because their next four games are Utah, at Boston, at Chicago, and again, home against the Spurs. Gets easier after that. But they are being chased by Houston. Houston only a game and a half back of Memphis. So I think they're going to make the playoffs.
I think so, too.
But if they make the playoffs, it's hard to hit a home run if you don't have a lottery pick.
Absolutely.
We'll see. I mean, it's an interesting situation. If you're the Grizzlies, you want to keep Randolph, but you also want to get better. Now, Aaron Brooks and DeMarcus Cousins. These guys have temper problems, Greg.
Aaron Brooks really is the one that surprised me. I think we knew, obviously, DeMarcus Cousins is who he is. And with Aaron Brooks, last year in Houston, most improved player, just seemed like an all-around nice guy. This year
I'm not saying he's a bad guy, but he's got to get his emotions.
There's been continual issues this year. Obviously, coming off the bench in Houston, he wasn't happy with it. He made it known. So they traded him. He went to Phoenix. Again, this is a team that we knew he wasn't going to start for. Clearly, he's not happy. Throwing the ball at the ref the other night, a little immaturity.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Not at all.
He's laying on his back, and he throws the ball. You can't
directly at the ref. It was not a question of, I was trying to get him the ball to inbound it. Not at all. So, yeah, but like I said, DeMarcus Cousins, not as surprised that he's having these sort of issues. Still very immature. Would expect later in his career for his mentality just to grow up a little bit. But, again, you're never surprised to see him in something like this.
And who's the person that he constantly gets compared to is Zach Randolph.
Absolutely.
So hopefully he can turn it around like Zach Randolph and make a lot of money in the future. Now, the Knicks have been awful. They beat Memphis earlier last week, but then they lost back-to-back games to the Detroit Pistons and the Milwaukee Bucks. And watching these games, Carmelo Anthony does not like playing defense. I believe he is allergic to defense. I think they should really look into that because it's hurting the team.
Yes, and we've known that. You know, we talked last week about Melo and the change of mind frame now in Denver and now in New York. And when your superstar doesn't put defense really to heart and doesn't play the sort of defense like a Dwayne Wade or a Kobe Bryant, everyone else kind of falls in place. And you have a coach in Mike D'Antoni who doesn't really preach defense. So there's no one.
He does preach defense, but he obviously is good at it.
Exactly. Of course, every coach tries to preach it, but he's really not the defensive guru that we see, Tom Thibodeau there in Chicago. So to not have a head coach who's all about defense and then to have a superstar who doesn't care about defense, that's going to happen. It's going to have a trickle-down effect to every single player on that roster.
And you could be a subpar defensive player, but as long as you try, you're going to make plays. But the difference we spoke last Wednesday, and we knew that the Knicks were having defensive problems. But since then, these two losses on Friday and on Sunday, Carmelo Anthony has been directly responsible for two of the biggest plays of the game. It was his failure to get a rebound on Friday in a loss to the Pistons, and then it was his failure to close out on Carlos Delfino, who hit basically the game-icing three-pointer on Sunday. Yeah. So he's got some serious issues, and he keeps saying, just wait, it's going to take some time. But it's really on him, and Billups has been horrible too. So right now, I think what's important here is that the Knicks, unless they use the next few weeks to get on the same page and really improve, they're not going to be a factor in the first round. Whoever plays them, if they played them right now, and right now they're the 7 seed, so they play the Bulls, Bulls would steamroll them.
Especially with how good those three teams are, whether they're a 7 or a 6, the three teams, you know, Boston, Chicago, Miami, no matter what, they can score. They can score, you know, really in bunches, and I do not expect them to win either one or two games against one of those top three teams.
Some interesting quotes from Kendrick Perkins, who's now on the Oklahoma City Thunder, in Sunday's Miami Herald from a Barry Jackson column, and Perkins spoke of the Boston Celtics and what a Celtics Heat matchup would be like, and this was one of his quotes. Barry Jackson said Perkins spoke of how supremely confident his former teammates are against Miami. Quote, arrogant in a good way, end quote. He said, quote, each guy feels they have a matchup to their advantage against Miami. They take it a lot personal when they play them. And then he said the Celtics, well, not just the Celtics, but teams, you know, didn't love the way that the Heat celebrated before they even played one game.
Of course.
Who did like that? But then he said, Barry Jackson says, Perkins sees Ray Allen remaining a problem for Dwayne Wade, quote, because Dwayne falls asleep a lot. He doesn't like to guard screen and rolls, and that's what Ray specializes in. Dwayne doesn't like to get picked. He's a good on-the-ball defender as far as a guy dribbling, but he struggles getting over screens, end quote. Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously, Kendrick Perkins has seen these teams battle firsthand, and there are matchup issues for the Miami Heat when they play the Celtics. LeBron James isn't one of them, so they need to exploit the LeBron James matchup because, really, there's no one on the Boston Celtics that can guard him. Dwayne Wade definitely struggles against the Celtics. You know, defensively, who can keep up with Ray Allen running through all those picks? There's no one in the league that can.
But this is what I'm telling you. Keep saying Dwayne Wade is the best defensive player in the world. Now Kendrick Perkins is like, no, Urbano, he isn't.
He's the best defensive guard in the league right now. There's no doubt about that.
You think he's a better defender than Kobe?
Right now, yeah. I mean, Kobe, obviously, the athleticism's dwindled slightly. The effort, of course, is still there, but Dwayne Wade, some of the blocks that he has. I mean,
yeah,
you've watched him block Tim
Duncan.
You only
pay attention to the highlights. He also gets burned a lot, and he falls asleep a lot.
He does, because he does try to help out a little bit too much.
He's too much of a gambler.
There's
he's
no
been
doubt
that way
about
for a few
that.
Years.
Absolutely. We've known that. So, but at the same time, the open court blocks, the ability to jump up with Tim
Duncan.
You're
all about the highlights.
You know what? It's hard to not be with those plays.
Fine. Whatever. So last week when we spoke, we talked about the Oklahoma City Thunder and how every time I want them to take that step and become one of those elite teams, they do something to let me down. Not me personally, but they let down.
Yes.
So they beat the Heat last week.
And a dominant effort, really.
The
front court, the depth, you can see what Oklahoma City has building there, and it's a dangerous team.
Then they lose to the Raptors at home.
At home.
But I will tell you what. I think that Raptors loss, I'm throwing it out the window, because Durant playing through his sore shoulder, 6 of 21.
Yep.
Big part of that game. Westbrook had an off night, too. Nazi Muhammad and Kendrick Perkins, both were in foul trouble. They didn't play much in this game. I'm throwing that out the window. I'm looking at that win over the Heat and saying, wow, all right, maybe they are more of a contender now that they have Perkins.
Absolutely. Impressive depth there in the front court. I mean, if you look at what they have, they've got, obviously, Kendrick Perkins. Serge Ibaka is able to play the four now. He's such an athletic four. Great shot blocking, great rebounding. Then you have Nazi Muhammad, as you mentioned, and Nick Collison coming off the bench. Both of those guys are effort guys, and they also move the ball well. They pass the ball well. And when you have such talent on offense, that's what you need out of your big men, is to be able to move the ball. You can't have them just be a black hole. And if you look at, you know, obviously James Harden coming off the bench, this is a team that has so much depth. You know, we talked about earlier in the year, the shooting guard position for them was probably their weakest position. Thabo Sefolosha is a great defender, and really they use him as a starter to kind of get that defensive mentality. You bring Harden off the bench to bring in the offense. This is a very well-rounded team. I would not be shocked or surprised to see them get to the Western Conference Finals. Obviously, their second-round matchup is going to be so much fun to watch, whether it's the Lakers or the Spurs, and then if they can get past that.
It's probably going to be the Spurs.
This is just one of the most talented teams we have in the league.
So right now, Oklahoma City is the 4 seed. They're more or less locked into that. So their second round matchup's going to be the Spurs.
Yeah.
You think they can beat the Spurs?
I do think they. I think they absolutely can. Obviously, like you mentioned, you'll need Kevin Durant to shoot good percentages. You'll need Russell Westbrook to play well every single night. Those two guys, you know, those are the things we feel like are going to be there every night. The X factor is James Harden hitting the three off the bench. You know, really the guys like Nick Collison just being able to contribute, grab five or six rebounds in the minutes that you're out there, move the ball well, those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And I don't see any reason to doubt that they can do that. Obviously, San Antonio, incredibly talented team. They're going to make it very hard on Kevin Durant. So we'll see. Can he step his game up another level like he really did last year in the playoffs with the Lakers? Unfortunately, they couldn't get past Game 7. But it's going to be just amazing to watch this team.
Yeah, Richard Jefferson on Durant. It's not going to be an easy matchup for Jefferson. I don't think either of the point guards can guard the other point guard. Parker can't guard Westbrook. Yeah. Westbrook can't guard Parker. That
Absolutely
would be interesting.
Right. Yeah.
And then it would probably just come down to the role players, I think, like you said, for both teams.
And they're both two of the deepest teams, so it'll be very interesting to watch.
Sneaky deep. You know, they don't have big names coming
up. Yes, the names don't fly off the roster when you read them, but there's no doubt they're contributors.
How about the Nuggets? It's a tough week for them since we last spoke.
The schedule wasn't very nice.
Well,
to
you
them.
Hate having to play Orlando and Miami and that Florida swing like most teams do when they come down here. But Orlando, Jameer Nelson hits that game-winning three-pointer at the buzzer, and then Miami gets off to a big lead the next night against the Nuggets. But what I love about the Nuggets, watching them, they don't quit.
Yeah.
Man, they are scrappy. And you know, finally watching those two games back to back and seeing more about what they've become now that Gallinari is back in the lineup. And since that trade, and that scrappy, tough team, I think they're going to lose in the first round to the Thunder. But I wouldn't be shocked if they beat the Thunder now.
Not at all. I don't think anyone would be if you've watched this team play lately. Obviously, you know, losing Carmelo Anthony, you lose a little bit of offense, but there are so many guys on the team that can score. As we mentioned, their defense has gotten even better. George Karl's system is now pretty much in place because, really, Melo, I don't think, really allowed Karl to
doesn't
do
play
the sort
system.
Of thing.
Melo is a system.
So, in general, it's been very interesting because, you know, obviously, I could see that. Just slightly. But it's interesting to think, you know, what does Melo think about them now? You know, having seen how well they played, what are his thoughts now? Obviously, he still wants to be in New York. We know that. He wants to be in the spotlight. But clearly, Denver has talent and is a very good team.
So one thing I wanted to talk about before we got into the All-NBA teams was bad teams this year that we anticipate could be good next year.
Yeah.
And the Clippers are an obvious one.
Absolutely.
Who else stands out to you? Now, to me, I came up with a list. You can tell me about this list. So the Clippers, you know, obvious. Blake Griffin, by the way, six straight games without double figures and rebounds.
Maybe hitting
a little bit of a wall.
Could be. You know, obviously other teams are paying a little more attention to what he does. And
yeah, then, I mean, the rebounding?
They're boxing out more. They're aware of where he is on the court.
I don't buy it.
Much more.
I think it's rookie wall.
I don't think a rookie wall for rebounding. Again, those are an effort thing and ball bouncing the right way type of thing. He's still playing very good basketball.
Six straight games without double figures and rebounding?
If you saw 2 nights ago some of the highlights that he had, I mean, he's still playing great basketball. Rebounds just sometimes aren't there for you.
Speaking
it's a rookie wall for rebounds.
Speaking of rookie wall, one of the teams that I think could be better next year is Washington.
Yep.
Because their rookie, John Wall, if he's healthy all season, and you got to love Nick Young,
absolutely.
And they have decent big men. And I believe in their coach. I hope he sticks around. And the fact that they were able to get Mike Bibby off of their books next year gives them a little bit of cap space to work with. While some teams might be saving up for 2012, maybe the Wizards can do something a little under the radar in 2011, and they're going to have a lottery pick. So I think the Wizards have potential next year to make a big improvement, maybe flirt with that 8 spot.
Certainly.
Speaking of that 8 spot, Indiana, the Pacers.
Amazing.
I mean, look at their
Amazing
starting lineup. Collison, Paul George, Danny Granger, Tyler Hansbrough, Roy Hibbert. It's not bad.
Yeah.
Next year could be pretty good.
Absolutely. And Tyler Hansbrough has really just impressed me lately with his ability to not only just be a hustler and rebounder, which we knew he would be, but he's made that mid-range jumper something of his repertoire that I don't even think anyone expected him to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely, he fits in that team. And as you mentioned, Darren Collison is really just playing great basketball lately.
Yeah, and for the Pacers, you know, Hansbrough, it's one thing to light up the Knicks, which he did in back-to-back games, but then he scored 29 on the Bulls.
That's right.
That's pretty impressive.
That's right.
Two other teams that I looked at, and I don't necessarily think they will make the next step, but I wanted your opinion on it. One is the Warriors.
Warriors, you know, I mean, I feel like if they do something with Monte Ellis, I feel like you need Stephen Curry to be the future of your backcourt. Try to move Monte Ellis, bring in some more talent. And obviously, the health for them has always been an issue. We've not seen them fully healthy in a couple of years, really. So, absolutely, they're going to be a better team than they were this year. Stephen Curry is going to continue to improve. Yes.
But they can't play defense.
They're
not even close.
There are many teams in this league that don't play good defense, but they are supremely talented offensively. And there are nights where you watch them play and you wonder, why aren't they a playoff team? There's
yes,
no doubt about it.
Exactly. But it all comes back to the fact that they don't play defense. And if you look at the 12 worst teams in the league in points per game allowed, only two of them are going to the playoffs this year. That's New York and Denver. Carmelo.
The Carmelo effect.
But only Minnesota allows more points per game than Golden State. So they do have a lot of talent, but until they start playing defense, they're not going to the playoffs, and
absolutely,
they're not going to get any better. And I completely agree with you. Trade Monte Ellis. Let Stephen Curry take over there. Get some toughness. Get some defense on the team. You don't have to trade him for a superstar. Maybe trade him for draft picks and some good role players and you know, a solid
a
rotation
big man
player.
That can block shots and is going to be there 82 games a year.
Exactly. And the other team I wanted to look at was the Nets, because they had won five straight. Now they've lost three in a row. They have Deron Williams. They have Brook Lopez. My problem is they have garbage
other than that. There's no doubt. And really, obviously, signing Deron Williams here in the offseason is going to be a huge thing for them. Whether or not they get that done, you know, that's the big question there.
He's going to want to be a free agent.
He's going to want to test it. He's going to want to see what's out there. So it'll be interesting. And, you know, in general, I think that team, like you said, that five-game run, we saw that there is some talent there. So maybe they can convince him with games like that, but then you go in a little low like this, and that's going to hurt their chances for sure.
I was just hoping that Avery Johnson would have them playing great defense. You know, that's the next step. Maybe that happens next year. We'll see. Good news, everybody. I looked at Greg Urbano's first, second, and third team All-NBA squads, and they're pretty laughable. In my opinion, especially the third one. I mean, the first two are probably okay, but the third, I mean.
This was tough.
We're going to have some fun with it. It was very tough, very difficult exercise. But we are going to unveil our first, second, and third team All-NBA. Start right now with first team All-NBA. My first team, by the way, one center, two forwards, two guards.
Of any guard position, any forward
and
position.
And any forward position. Right. My first team All-NBA, Dwight Howard at center. That was an easy one. Dirk Nowitzki and LeBron James are my forwards. Kobe Bryant over Dwayne Wade and Derrick Rose. So Rose, Bryant, James, Nowitzki, Howard. That is my All-NBA first team. The only thing that I was debating was Bryant or Wade. But let's take a look at your All-NBA.
I'm glad we have differences. A lot of times we come here with the same sort of rosters and same sort of teams. But for me, two differences with you. Obviously, Dwight Howard locked in there at the number one first team center. LeBron James and Derrick Rose, I agree with you there. I have Dwayne Wade over Kobe Bryant. Very close race there. Personally, for me, it's just the fact that he's a little bit better on defense this year. I believe both of them are obviously two of the best players in the league, two of the best players I've ever seen. So it's just a pleasure to watch them on any given night. But Dwayne Wade's done just a little bit more for me this year. And then I have Kevin Durant over Dirk Nowitzki on the first team. I think either guy, you flip a coin, you know, on any given night, they're going to dominate. You know what they provide for their teams. They're going to score. Dirk a little bit better rebounding. Kevin Durant a little bit better passing the ball. So, you know, they both have their strengths and their weaknesses, but I don't know how you can go wrong with either one of those guys. For me, I just went with Kevin Durant.
Completely agree. I was debating that. I've been really big on Dirk. I think he's number two in MVP behind Derrick Rose, so I went with Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah.
But the reason why I went with Kobe over Wade, and originally I had Wade, but then he's just been so non-existent in those clutch situations this year.
That's true.
And I hold that against him. And I'm going to give that one to Kobe.
You didn't hold it against LeBron James, though. I see that.
No. Who am I going to put over LeBron James?
That's true.
You kidding?
Well, you could put Kevin Durant.
I would probably put Kobe over LeBron James. But
if they were up to that?
Yeah,
okay.
But they don't play the same position.
Gotcha.
I could have put Durant over James, but no. I put look, the Heat, they have a better record than Oklahoma City.
So
there's something to be said for that, even though the Thunder just beat them. Now, second team, All-NBA. We'll start with mine. Pau Gasol I have as my starting center. Kevin Love at forward. The forwards were really difficult. Kevin Durant was my All-NBA second team forward along with Love. Dwayne Wade and Chris Paul in the backcourt. So Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, Durant, Love, Gasol.
Wow. I'm going to get some hate for what for not including Kevin Love. I can tell you that much. On my second team, obviously.
You have been all over Kevin Love
all year.
All year.
All year.
And you don't put him on your second team. And you didn't even put him on your
third team. It's going to be, obviously.
Absurd.
It was rough. I mean, coming up with these names, Pau Gasol, second-team center also, just like you. I've got Amari Stoudemire at the forward position, Dirk Nowitzki at the next forward position, and then the two guards. Russell Westbrook, to me, has been one of the most impressive players this season. And, of course, Kobe Bryant. Got to be either first-team or second-team.
I love your Amare pick. I didn't have him on my second team. Amare was really difficult for me. My problem with him is he doesn't rebound well enough, and he doesn't play enough defense. You could say the same thing about Kevin Love. But I really think, all things considered, you'd have to think Kevin Love's had a better year than Amare Stoudemire.
As a single player, you might be right. I think why Amare Stoudemire is here is the things that he did prior to Melo being traded. I mean, he kept his team right there in the race in the Eastern Conference.
Outstanding.
One of the early MVP candidates when the talk was out. So for me, I think the struggles now that Melo's there, I didn't knock Stoudemire for that. It's going to be a struggle when you add someone like Carmelo Anthony to the mix, especially for someone like Stoudemire who demands the ball as often as he does.
So let's just recap real quick our first and second teams. First team for me, Derrick Rose, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Dirk Nowitzki, Dwight Howard. First team for you?
Derrick Rose, Dwayne Wade, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, and Dwight Howard.
Second team for me was Paul, Wade, Durant, Love, Gasol. For you?
Kobe Bryant and Russell Westbrook at guard, Dirk Nowitzki and Amare Stoudemire forward, and Pau Gasol, second team center.
So the differences we have so far, you have Westbrook and Amare, I have Love and Paul.
That's right.
Okay, third team. It was tough leaving Russell Westbrook.
You left him.
And Deron Williams on the third team.
Wow, goodness.
Steve Nash has had such a good year, and nobody pays attention to it. He's on my third team.
Wow.
Rajon Rondo is on my third team. Kevin Garnett, LaMarcus Aldridge, who I just have a crush on this year, and Tim Duncan is my center.
Yeah.
So it's Nash, Rondo, Garnett, Aldridge, and Duncan. What do you think? Go ahead. Why don't you go ahead and reveal yours?
Mine, obviously.
This is just hilarious.
Chris Paul did drop down to the third team because of how good Russell Westbrook has been all season. Chris Paul has been a little bit banged up, obviously, when he's played, and now that he's got the knee brace off, he's been spectacular. So, you know, if he's on second team, I wouldn't argue with it in any way. For me, Manu Ginobili deserves some recognition for it.
Not good enough.
As well as he's
not
played this season
enough.
For the things that he's done for this team. Both he and Tim Duncan are there on the third team, Duncan at the center position. And my two forwards, I know you hate the Carmelo Anthony pick.
I could not hate the Carmelo Anthony
more than
what
anything
could possibly
in the
justify
world.
You putting Carmelo Anthony on
because
the team. The fact that
the
both of his teams have been worse with him?
That's a great argument, obviously. But he had Denver in a position to make the playoffs. And obviously, you know, I know the Knicks have been very bad right
now. He's not that good.
I know. Personally, not putting LaMarcus Aldridge there is the hardest part of this. And probably I should have LaMarcus Aldridge there. You know,
who's your other forward, by the way?
The other forward is Zach Randolph, who has just been underrated all season. And it's hard for me not to put him there. If Memphis falls out of the playoffs and LaMarcus Aldridge gets this bid, I couldn't argue with it at all because I believe the player whose team makes the playoffs should be part of these three teams. So
I don't know. I mean, I never really bought into that. I think
LaMarcus Aldridge has done so much for his team, especially when Brandon Roy has been out. Same thing with Zach Randolph when Rudy Gay has been out. They've stepped up their game when they know they needed to.
Oh, I love Aldridge. Yeah. I don't use the playoff argument. That's never been a big argument for me. There are so many other factors that go into that. That's why I have
Kevin Love on your second team.
On my second team.
Yes.
For me, I didn't put Ginobili on there because his February was terrible. I mean, the whole month he was terrible. He's gotten better in March, but he's averaging about 15 points per game in March. So he's not all NBA third team to me, not when you're talking about Rondo and Nash, even though Rondo's been bad in March,
that's
too,
the part. Rondo has been so bad lately and since the Perkins trade that it was hard for me. I had him there originally, and I mean, I've been hyping him for three seasons now, so it's hard for me not to have him there.
He's kind of your boy.
He's been my boy. I was repping him before anyone really knew that it was the big four, not the big three there.
I left Amare Stoudemire off all three teams. That was really tough. We both left Blake Griffin off all three teams.
Unfortunately, just there's too much depth at the forward position in the NBA right now.
I left Russell Westbrook off all three teams. I still have the same problems with Russell Westbrook. And if you watched the Toronto game just last night on Sunday when they lost, he took kind of a wild shot in the lane that missed, and it was a really big moment in the game, and he just does that too many times for me. He is a little out of control. He goes into these spurts, these moments in these games where he just likes to drive into the lane recklessly and throw up bad shots, and I cannot forget that when I'm making these all-NBA teams. But it came down to him or Rondo, and I went with Rondo just basically for his defense. And I think Tony Parker I wanted to put on there.
Yeah, it's close. Absolutely.
But Steve Nash is the one I'm happy about. I think the world needs to know that Nash had a very good year.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he set the bar so high that this season obviously is not the typical Steve Nash season, but it's tough. I mean, building these teams I think was probably the hardest thing we've done this
year. Okay, well, I can't believe you put Carmelo on there. Just ridiculous. But you always do better at power ranking, so I'll let you lead that segment. Hit it.
All right. Appreciate it. Number one, still have the Los Angeles Lakers. We talked last week about the things they've done since the All-Star break. Simply fantastic basketball they're playing. Obviously, Andrew Bynum has been a big part of that. He's going to miss the next two games. I don't see any reason to think that they will lose next two games. He missed last night. He'll miss a game against Phoenix. They won 9 of last 10, wins over Orlando, Minnesota, and Portland last week. And Kobe Bryant seems pretty locked in, ready for the playoffs.
Oh, man.
Watched him last night.
Oh, what a shot he hit.
Fall away jumper on the baseline, and then he seemed like he's ready for the playoffs.
Fired up.
That intensity that he's got there. Number two, I've got the San Antonio Spurs. And, you know, last week I struggled with the Spurs and Bulls. Right now, I mean, looking at the Spurs, they won 7 of the last 10. After losing to Miami, they went to Dallas and got a really big win in Dallas. Last game against Charlotte, their bench scored 66 points.
Oh, wow.
They are resting starters a little bit. Popovich obviously knows at this point in the season, definitely need to do that. So, really, in general, the Spurs are playing great basketball, and their bench is providing a lot. Number three, I have the Chicago Bulls, winners of 8 of the last 10. You know, the OT loss to Indy, as we talked about, just a tough game. Derrick Rose was incredible, though. Almost brought them back into it, hit 3 free throws to tie it up, and really, they in overtime, just for whatever reason, didn't show up. Can't say enough about Coach Thibodeau this year. I think he's probably the coach of the year, if not Greg Popovich.
Popovich, I think.
One of those two has to get the award, and Kurt Thomas has been the most underrated aspect of this team.
Oh,
when
really
guys
good.
Get hurt, he steps up and has played great basketball. At number four, I have the Miami Heat, winners of 5 of the last 6, obviously after dropping those 5 in a row. LeBron seems locked in offensively, and Wade just continues to amaze defensively. The injury to Chalmers will hurt, because you're going to have guys playing out of position now at times, because as you mentioned, there's no real backup point guard there, so LeBron will have to do it, Wade will have to do it. Don't see them falling, but I don't see them getting up to that one seed. And at number 5 this week, I'm actually going to go with the Oklahoma City Thunder, based on, again, what I saw from them. Not against Toronto, but the games prior to that, the winners of 8 of the last 10. The zone defense by Toronto, when they broke out the zone against Oklahoma City, it made them struggle.
I could see why.
So, I mean, there's no doubt that might be a weapon people use against them in the playoffs, so we'll see. But the front court depth, as we mentioned earlier, is incredible, and that shooting guard position with Cephalosha and Harden is really not a weakness anymore.
And one team that plays a lot of zone is Dallas. So the Thunder wouldn't play Dallas as it is until the Western Conference Finals. But if we do get that, not out of the realm of possibility.
No.
You know, and
the other teams that play against him have to look at that tape and see, wow, the zone certainly does work. So why not break it out during lulls or during times where you need to catch up, see if it'll work.
Yeah, so I like your power rankings. Mine are very different. But I think at this point, it's like we've got 7 or 8 teams. We probably should go past 5.
Yeah.
Because there are 7 or 8 teams, and you look at Boston,
it's tough to not have Dallas and Boston here.
Yeah, really the top 4 in each conference. Boston, Chicago, Miami, Orlando, San Antonio, L.A., Dallas, Oklahoma City, and Orlando probably 8th on that list, I would think. You know, just a little inconsistent defensively.
We know they've got Dwight Howard, the best center, the best big man in the world. Other guys really just don't show up consistently enough.
So you went Lakers, Spurs, Bulls, Heat, Thunder. My power ranking is very different. Spurs, number 1, really encouraging to see them beat the Mavericks because they had been struggling.
Yeah.
So that was a nice win for them. The Bulls, 49-19, and the Celtics are 49-19. They're 2 and 3. The only difference I have between now and last Wednesday, last time we unveiled the power rankings, I swapped the Bulls and the Celtics. You know, the Celtics got crushed by Houston on Friday. They fell behind 28-14 after the first quarter against New Orleans on Saturday, and then they turned it on. So I'll get back to them, and I just want to give the rest of the list. Spurs, Bulls, Celtics, Lakers 4, Mavericks 5. But, yeah, the Heat and the Thunder are just as good as those teams.
The Celtics over the Lakers, that surprises me.
Again, with the Celtics is that I am believing that what we're seeing right now is not truly indicative of what the Celtics are. I'm waiting for their front court to get healthier. Again, I really think Shaquille O'Neal is a big factor for them
a
body.
He's a huge factor.
Yeah.
Whether or not he can provide what they need, that's the question.
I can't believe that Rondo and Pierce are this bad. Paul Pierce in his last 4 games is 11 of 41 from the field. Rajon Rondo in his last 4 games, 7 of 31 with 28 assists. 7 per game for a guy averaging 11.5. And that 11.5
was 13 earlier this year, over 14 almost. Yeah.
So I can't believe that the Perkins trade has so much to do with that. Rondo's got an injury. He's playing through an injury, so he needs to get healthy. Maybe the Bulls don't get maybe the Celtics don't get the one seed, but I just think that it's being a little short-sighted to look at a recent stretch of poor play for the Celtics and take them out of your top 5. They're going to turn it on and be better than that.
I mean, I agree. You get to the playoffs, we know what they are. They're a beast. You know, Kevin Garnett is absolutely insane. We know Ray Allen's going to be shooting lights out, but like you mentioned, Paul Pierce, what is going to happen with Paul Pierce? Is he truly 100%? And the shot has to start falling. And that's something that, you know, you don't just, you know, put more effort into your shot. It has to start falling.
We agree the Bulls are the best team in the East right now.
Absolutely.
But if the Heat played the Celtics in the playoffs and the Celtics in this scenario would have home court advantage, I'm taking the Celtics.
That's tough. That's very tough. I would take the Heat because I do expect LeBron and Wade to step their game up to an astronomical level when they play
Nobody
in the playoffs
Nobody steps
together.
Up their game like the Celtics step up their game. That's the thing. That's why they're the Celtics.
Yeah. We'll see. It's going to be great. The playoffs both in the East and Western Conference, that second round is going to be fantastic basketball.
Mavs
if you're not an NBA fan, you have to watch the second round.
You don't really have to watch the first round. Don't worry about the first round. Do other stuff while the first round's going on. Enjoy early season baseball.
That's right.
But second round, Mavs-Lakers, what do you think?
Lakers still. I mean, obviously, I've been in love with Dallas all year because of Tyson Chandler. The way that Tyson Chandler's played has just transformed that team, especially defensively. But Kobe's got that killer instinct. I go with the Lakers.
I'll take whoever's at home. I'll take the Game 7
winner. All right.
That's it for today's show. We're back next week with some more power rankings, more news from around the league. We'll ask Urbano to reconsider Carmelo Anthony.
I may have already. I may have already.
I think you already have. But it was, you know what? It was fun. It was fun while we were on
the
show.
Great exercise.
It was good comedy.
Absolutely.
That's Greg Urbano. I'm Adam Azar. Our producer is Matt Borowski. Thanks a lot, everyone. We'll talk to you next week.